Father, thank you again for an opportunity to come. Thank you for the great songs that Brother Hawkins did. I'm so glad they drove up today to meet with me. I haven't seen them for a while, and I love and appreciate them. Thank you for these folks that are working here at this camp with these young people. They've been so awesome. I pray that you bless our time together now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 15. Let me ask you this morning, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Every single person in this room is going to and is listening to someone for advice. At this time in your life, from the time of 13, 14, right up into 19, 20, you are looking for help with your life. You're looking for some advice in how to live your life and live it properly. You're watching TV, you're listening to the radio, you're buying videos, you're going to camp, you go to church, you have parents. All of those things have an influence in the decisions of your life. Now, I stopped by McDonald's this morning. I went by to get the free Wi-Fi so I could do some emails and things. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening today to four or five of the employees. And one of the things I love to do is eavesdrop on other people's conversations. How many of you like to do that? That's what I thought. All right. So I'm kind of leaning over there a little bit, got the ear pulled. And here's what they're talking about. Every one of them, there were two Hispanic folks, and there was a white guy sitting there, and there was two black people, I think. There's four or five people. And they're talking, and they all said this. They said, my ex, my former husband or wife or relationship have left me, and now I've got the kids, and I don't get support. And one guy said, I don't get to see my kids. They're all talking about failed relationships. I wanted to so bad. I didn't do it, but I wanted to so bad. And if I go back tomorrow and they're there again, I'm going to ask them. I wanted to ask them why all five of them had failed relationships. How many of you here come from a home where your parents are either separated or divorced? Raise your hand for me. That's a lot. That's a lot. When I was a kid, which wasn't really that long ago, I'm going to be 50 in August, so let's say 40 years ago, I could probably count the number of divorced people I knew on one hand. I didn't know divorced people. I mean, that was something that was so foreign to me as a kid. And yet today, you look at that, probably 40 or 50% of the folks that are here have come from a home where there's been separation or divorce. Could I tell you why I think that is? I think that we've gotten some bad advice. I think we've got a wrong picture of the way things are supposed to be. Now, I'm not going to preach on this today, but I'm going to give this. This is absolutely free. You're not paying for this, okay? Here's what I think the problem is. I think it's the way we date. I think it's the way we date, because here's what we do. We find somebody that we like, and we get interested in them, and we start liking them, and we start spending time with them, and we like them for a while, and then we break up, right? Then we find somebody else that we like, and we get interested in them, and maybe we'll go a little bit farther in the relationship, and man, it gets very serious. We think, this is the one, but it doesn't work out, so we break up. And then we get another one, we get a little bit older, and we think, well, man, maybe if I just give a little more, if I give a little more of myself, if I get a little more involved in that, maybe if I become a little more physical, and maybe actually give myself away, then that person will love me, and they'll stay with me, because we're committed in that relationship, and it doesn't work out, and you break up. And then you think, well, I'm going to get married. I'll go all the way, and I'll commit, and boy, I'll work at it. And then when things start not to work out, what do? We break up. See, there's a pattern there. Young people, this isn't my message today, but I hearing that conversation today really disturbed me. Could I suggest to you that we break that pattern? Could I suggest to you that we wait and ask God for the perfect person in our life without going through 5 or 6 or 10 or 12 different people? And maybe just wait to find that one person that God gives to us and pray that that's the one. Hey, I'll tell you the truth. I dated a couple different girls before my wife, and I found out very quickly that, boy, that just wasn't a good way. And so I said, God, give me the perfect woman. God, give me the perfect girl for my life that will spend the rest of my life with me. And young people, it wasn't a few weeks later that I met my wife. And immediately I knew that was God's choice for my life. Now you say, how do you know that, Brother Stone? That's a long story, but I'll tell you this. I simply said, God, show me. And from his Bible and from the example of my wife, I knew that was the girl. We've been married 28 years. Young people, you can do it. You can do it. And I'll tell you this. Let me tell you this. My wife is the only girl that I've ever given myself completely to. The only girl. I kept myself for my bride. You can do it. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad I did. Some of you say, I didn't do that, Pastor Stone. I haven't done that. I'm going to tell you later on this week that God can help you with that, and you can be restored from that. Okay? All right, now here's our message. You're listening to someone. Who you choose to listen to will make or break you. There is not a person here who does not at some time, truth be known, many times, need the insight of others. You need help today. You're making decisions and you need help with that. This time in your lives is a crucial time for you to have a good, solid, Bible-based counsel. You ought to have someone in your life who knows the Word of God and knows it strongly and can help you with Bible advice. You have a pastor. If you don't, you should have one. You should have a good, solid pastor. You should have a great youth pastor and a great youth pastor's wife for the ladies. I don't like when men counsel with ladies. That's not a good thing to do. A lot of folks get in trouble doing those kind of things. I've known too many preachers that have had an affair because they got counseling a lady. My wife counsels ladies for two reasons. Number one, so that I can avoid that problem. And number two, because I don't understand women anyways. I don't get it. I told you last night, I don't get you. Women will sit in an office, my husband's a terrible, rotten guy, and he's so mean to me. And I'll say, oh, he's a rotten, no good jerk. Man, your husband's... And then my wife will listen to her, and she'll say, you quit your crying. You don't really mean that. This is what you're really saying. And women know women, right? You know a girl that's not a good girl, don't you? You'll see that bad girl and say, she's bad. She's bad. Or if you're Spanish, you'll say, El Diablo. She's the devil. Guys, we know bad guys. And if you got a brother and your brother says he's a bad dude, you stay away from him. Your brother knows. If your dad says you don't see him, trust your dad. Your dad knows he's a guy. So you need some good advice. I hope you've got someone. How many of you would say this morning, I have someone in my life. I have a grandpa or a grandma or I have a pastor. I have somebody who's a great spiritual counsel in my life. Lift your hand up. Good. Put your hands down. How many say, I don't have somebody like that? Lift your hand up. All right, good. Before you leave, I want you to find somebody. I want you to see me. I'll help you find somebody that'll be a good spiritual counsel. You need spiritual counsel. There are a lot of things in this life that could be solved and resolved and stayed away from if you would just think spiritually. Here's the problem, though. In your body right now, there are little hormones that are racing all over. And those hormones are telling you, you got to have a girl, you got to have a guy, you got to have a girl, you got to have a guy, you got to have a good time, you got to party, you got to have fun. And they're racing around in your body. And then there's the Holy Spirit crying out, listen to the preacher. And you're overcome with those hormones. Your life is changing. Your whole pattern of life is changing. If you'll listen to the spiritual now, I'm telling you, as you get older, things will be much better. If you'll listen to the preacher and the Bible and your wise counsel, then you do the hormones that are racing throughout your body. Let me ask you, who are you listening to these days for your counsel? I'll take a minute and think about that, all right? Think about that. Who are you listening to for your counsel? Who is it that really influences your life? Well, the answer to that question will be who you spend the most time with. Are you spending more time on the computer or God's Word? Are you spending more time on the radio or your iPhone or whatever it is you get your music source from? Are you spending more time with that or with the things of Jesus Christ? Are you spending more time at the parties of the unsaved people you know or at the youth activity of the saved people you know? Who are you listening to? Well, let's find out. Unfortunately, many of us refuse to have that Bible-based counsel because the kind of counsel often disagrees with what we want to do. Now say this with me. Want to and need are different. Say that. Want to and need are different. Hey, what I want to do isn't always what's best to do. You know what I want to do? I want to eat potato chips and French fries, and I want to eat pizza. I want to eat those things. And I'll tell you what, if you do, you'll look like Brother Pouts. That's what will happen. You'll end up looking like, and nobody wants to look like that. Brother Pouts, you do? Wow. Thank you, ma'am. All right, now,
she's got a low voice.
Maybe she's from Bama. All right, you know what? I'd like to tell you that I'm a little overweight. I know you haven't noticed that, but you know why? Because I'm a chipaholic. There's not a chip made that I don't love. I love French fries. In Canada, we have a thing called poutine. Poutine is French fries with gravy and melted cheese on top. Oh. If you put that on the top of your head, your tongue will beat yourself senseless trying to get at it. Oh,
so good.
But you know what I've learned? I want those things, but I don't really need those things. What I need is fruit and vegetables and a balanced diet. And in the Christian life, listen, we want some of the things of the world. We want to dress like part of the world. We want to listen to the music of the world. We want to be accepted by our friends that aren't saved. We want to, but that's not necessarily what you need. What you need is to have a life that's centered around the things of God, having a great time in those things. Listen, we just had a great time. You guys are outside there playing with hula hoops wrapped around you. Come on. You're out there laughing and carrying on. We got Miss Bama over there, Jessica over there, diving around in the dirt for a volleyball and gets up laughing and having a great time. You don't have to dress wrong. You don't have to listen to the wrong things. We got good music playing. We got good fun going on. We're having a great time. And people say, well, you can't have fun if you're a Christian. I have a great time. I'm telling you, wherever I go, I have a great time. I make it a great time. I just love life, and I love the things of life, and I don't have to have those other things. Young people, listen. Who you listen to is going to make a big, big dent in your life. Look at Proverbs 15:22. It says this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Purposes are disappointed if you have the wrong counselors. So you might purpose, some of you are going to come to this altar. Some of you came last night. Some of you came to me afterwards and said, I'm going to purpose to do something. I had a young man come to me and said, I'm going to purpose not to be involved with pornography. God bless you, amen. That's great. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this week because it's a raging problem. I'm purposing to do that, but I'm telling you, if you don't have good counsel, if you don't have good friends, if you don't have a good church, if you don't have a good walk with the Lord, those purposes are going to fall by the wayside. How many of you came last year to camp? Raise your hand. Good. How many of you last year at camp made a decision that you were going to do something? How many of you did that at camp last year? Raise your hand. How many of you kept that promise to God or kept that purpose in your life? And you're still doing what you said last year you were going to do. Not as many hands. Why? I mean, you meant it, right? You came forward. I mean, your tears. I mean, it was a tremendous year last year. Tears and people hugging each other. People getting saved. And I'm going to serve God. Testimony time out here at the fire. Oh, I'm going to serve God. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Bad counsel. You got home away from the influence of this camp. And life started again. You know what's great about this camp? No television. You know what's great about this camp? No radio. You know what's great about this camp? No unsafe friends plaguing us. You know what's great about this camp? We don't have to go to a public high school and have drugs and sex and all of those things put in front of us all the time. You know what's great about this camp? You got away from your family where there's a lot of problems sometimes. You know why you came back to this camp? Because you know that it's here that you're going to find the kind of counsel that you need. And every year, listen, you made a decision, you didn't keep it. Let's make a good decision this year. And let's work a little harder towards that. And as you get older and more mature and you start to see the important things of life, those decisions are going to begin to last longer. Young people, don't give up on those decisions. Don't be afraid to come. I know people say, I don't want to come because I don't want to disappoint God. And I don't want to make a decision and not keep it. Listen, God understands that. That's why he gives us wise counsel. This year, if I can promote anything in your life, find somebody that will help you, that'll be a friend, that will stick with you in the good times and the bad, and be a great counsel for you. Now, here's the first thing I want to ask you. Are you listening to the rebellious for your counsel? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 2 says, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. How many of you know what rebellion is? Raise your hand. Rebellion. Rebellious. Who's somebody, you tell me, who's somebody that you would say is rebellious? Who's a person, you think that person just rebels against society? Who would you say? Raise your hand and tell me. Who do you think? Say it again. One of your friends, all right? Somebody else. Yes, sir. Satan. Oh, he's rebellious. Absolutely. Yes. People that do drugs, absolutely. Can you think of like a specific person? Like you say, no, I know somebody rebellious. Yes, ma'am. Your mom? Okay, that's sad. Yes, ma'am. Miley Cyrus. Let me tell you, we talked a little bit last night. It's a nice young lady. What's, give me your first name again. Julia. Julia and I were talking last night, and we talked about Miley Cyrus. How many of you used to watch Miley Cyrus when she was on her show with her dad? You know what? My kid, a lot of you guys are raising your hands. A lot of guys. They call her Miley. Miley Cyrus, I want to tell you, my kids watched that show a little bit, and I thought, boy, what a beautiful young lady. What a cute girl. She had such a great personality. And then she started to get a little bit older, and she started to become a little more famous, and she got a little more of the worldly appeal. Where's Miley Cyrus today? Miley Cyrus is a mess. Miley Cyrus has done drugs. Miley Cyrus, she has changed her appearance. I don't even recognize her. She's become rebellious. She's rebelled against the norm. Listen to what rebellion is. The World English Dictionary describes rebellion as organized resistance or opposition to authority. Did you catch that? It means dissent from an accepted moral code or conventional behavior or dress. That's what the dictionary says. The Bible says that rebellion is equal to witchcraft. Now, we don't often think about that. You think about witchcraft, people that are steeped in Satanism and the worship of Satan and black magic and incantations. Witchcraft is still very huge and has a large following around the world. Witchcraft and rebellion are the same thing, the Bible says. That's some bad stuff. Who in this world opposes authority and wanders away from an accepted moral code, conventional behavior, and dress? Well, how about some of these names? How about a guy by the name of Michael Jackson? Michael. Yeah. That guy did not have an accepted moral code. He was charged with abusing children. Had some weird things. Conventional behavior? No. Kind of an unconventional dress. We all wear a white glove around, don't we? We all wear a mask because we're afraid we're going to catch some germs, right? How about Lady Gaga? I call her Lady Gag Gag. How about a really great by the name of Charlie Sheen? Weird. How about a woman by the name of Madonna? How about a great guy, really sharp-looking Dennis Rodman? You don't know Dennis Rodman? Oh, good. Dennis Rodman was a professional basketball player that is just likes to wear wedding dresses around. You know, he went to China hanging out with North Korea, hanging out with the North Koreans. Nah, not a good guy. How about Rihanna? She's a good, wholesome girl. Now, listen to me. She's wholesome. She's the kind of girl that a lot of guys would like to take home and introduce to their mother. No. How about Nicki Minaj? Oh, let's see. Accepted moral code? Conventional behavior? Conventional dress? I don't think so. How about, now this is going to be a problem for some of you, Justin Bieber. Hey. He's Canadian. But we're going to sell him to the United States, all right? Now listen. I know some of you listen to them. I know some of you like them. But let me ask you. Do they wander away from an accepted moral code? Do they have an unconventional behavior? Do they dress in an unconventional way? Now, let me tell you something. Because he is Canadian, Justin Bieber met with the Prime Minister of Canada, who is like your president. He's the leader of our country. And he went to meet him, and he had on a pair of bib overalls, a white T-shirt, bib overalls hanging down. I'm telling you, that is not a conventional dress to meet someone of a great state. So unconventional. So, I'm just asking. Sadly, that is the counsel of much of this world. This world is listening to those folks and those type of folks. They're watching sports athletes and saying, those are the people that we're going to mimic. And that's the world. And even more sad, the counsel of some in this auditorium. That's who you're listening to. You're saying, I'm patterning my life after those people. I want to be like those people. I want to be with those people. Could I tell you, from my experience of 25 years as a pastor and 5 years as an associate pastor, can I tell you that people that follow that type of people do not end up in a good place? Brother Matt Pouts loves the Lord, loves his family. How long have you been married? How many years? 24 years last Saturday. Man, that's a miracle today. Got great kids, love the Lord. Yeah, that's good. Let's give him a hand for that. That's good. Hey. Let's give Mrs. Pouts a big hand for being married to him. Yeah. Yeah. Let's give her diamonds and rubies. Listen, this is the guy I'm going to watch. This is the guy I'm going to hang around. This is the guy who's going to be my example. He loves the Lord. He's faithful to the church. He works hard. He loves his family. Is he perfect? No. Does he always do the right thing? No. But I'll tell you what. He's conventional. Those people that were sitting in McDonald's today, my ex, I don't see my kids, I don't get support. I don't hear that coming from over here. Here's a guy that's been with his wife for 24 years. Ever had a bad day? Oh, yeah. Ever have trouble raising kids? Oh, yeah. Ever come up short on the money? Oh, yeah. Ever feel like quitting? Oh, yeah. But you know what? They didn't. They stayed at it. Why? Because they follow the Bible, and they have good counsel, and they go to a good church. Young people, listen, those are the kind of people that I'm going to look to. I'm convinced we are not seeing revival because Christianity is enslaved and distracted by rebellious music and culture. Christians. I mean, young people that are at a camp saying, we want to serve the Lord. You raised your hand last night. I am on fire for God. I'm saved and I'm where I should be. And if I went through your music collection today, I wonder how many of those I'd find. If we went through some of the videos that you watch, I wonder what we'd be seeing in the videos that you watch. Come on, let's be honest today. As Christians, we have been sucked into a world. We have enslaved ourselves to a world. I wonder if I went to the websites that you visited this week, I wonder how many of us say, man, that's not a Christian site. That's not what Christians ought to be looking at. I wonder, if I came to your home on Saturday night, how late would you be staying up playing video games and then go to church and sleep through this Sunday morning service? I'm talking about the hope of our future. I'm talking about the next generation. I'm talking about people that will be leaders in churches. And you know what's even more sadder to me? A lot of your parents are caught up in it too. And you're simply following. Listen, some of you have to make a break. Some of you have to be a generational break and say, no more. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. This country does not have a hope. Listen to me. I'm watching America from up north. We're watching what's going on down here. And your country's in trouble. And I say that very respectfully. I'm a visitor. I know that. But I love America. My wife's from America. My kids have a dual citizenship, America and Canada. And I'll tell you, I preach a lot in America. And a lot of my friends are from America. Your country's in trouble. My country is in worse trouble. Why? Because Christians are not standing up for Christian things. Christians are not living the Christian life. We're living a double standard. We're living so close to the world. If this is the world, we're walking so close to the line that we could fall either way. I want to be over here. I want to be so far away from the things of the world. There's no question in my life that I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, listen, I'm telling you, I've done some of the neatest things in this world, and it's because of Christianity. I came and preached this camp here probably 10 or 15 years ago. And they didn't have air conditioning in this tabernacle the first time I preached here. And I met a man 15 years ago, and he said, hey, if you ever want to come back and visit the mouse, let me know. I didn't know what he was talking about. And I said to Brother Paul, who's that guy? And he says, oh, and he gave me his name. And he says, he's a great guy. And I said, what's the mouse? Is that a radio station? He goes, no, he works for Walt Disney World. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He says, he's telling you if you ever want to come visit Walt Disney World, he'll get you in. I said, now from Canada? Well, that's a big deal. Now, I know you guys get a little bit of a break being from Florida, but could I tell you that for 15 years, my family and I went to Walt Disney World at least once a year. That man saved our family over $30,000. Why? Because I was serving Jesus Christ. Could I tell you that I have been to professional sporting events? Could I tell you that I have flown around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've been to Israel, Greece. I've been to Scotland. I've been to the Philippines. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Haiti. I've been to France, Paris, France. I've been all over this world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, being a Christian is not a bad deal. You say, well, I might not get to do that. You might not, but I'll tell you what, whatever God gives you, it'll be a great deal in your life. I'm just telling you, you can be a Christian and be removed from those things and be all right. Is your counsel the rookie? May not be the rebellious. Maybe it's the rookie. The wise man, the wise young man, learns as a child that wisdom does not come easily to the young. Experience is a great, great teacher. How many of you play on a sports team? What do you play, young lady? Right here. Yes. Soccer. Soccer's a hard sport because you have to run. This body ain't made for running. I run to the refrigerator. I run back to the couch. That's the running I do. Running. Now, you probably, when you first started out, how old were you when you first started? Just a little girl? Little girl? And probably when you first started, you probably played more like swarm ball. Right? That's where all the kids run to the ball, and then they kind of just kick it among themselves, and it kind of bounces off the other kids, and then the swarm moves up here. Somebody finally kicks it out of the swarm, and they all swarm around it there. My daughter played swarm ball. Now, you don't play that anymore, do you? You're running up and down that field. You're making the pass. You're crossing it over. You're doing the head in the net. I mean, you're playing some serious soccer now, right? What's the difference? Experience. Your coach made you run and run and run till you couldn't run anymore. You thought you were going to throw up. Man, you're dehydrated. You're running, running, running. Is that pretty close? But they said, run here. You're going to pass over here. Did the drills. Man, you've done so many drills. You're so sick of passing that ball across the field, hitting the side of the foot, making the pass, getting the chest pass, all that stuff. You're doing all that. And you said, man, I hate practice. I don't want to practice. Too hot to practice. I just want to play. That's what you said, didn't you? You're a bad player. Then you get out there and play that game, and you know what comes together? You score and shoot that and hit that goal, or you stop, you're a defensive player, you stop that goal. Man, what? Experience. And some of you are on the right path. Some of you are in the right place right now. You're saved. You want to serve the Lord. You want to do the right things, and you're struggling. Why? Because you don't have experience. And some of you are seeking the counsel of people that don't have experience. Some of you have great minds and ability. You just lack that experience. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 6 to 8, talks about King Rehoboam. King Rehoboam said, I've got some old men here, and they're telling me that I need to treat the people good, and I need to remove some of the heavy taxes that my father put upon them. But Rehoboam said, hey, I got some buddies. I got some younger buddies. I'm going to ask them what they think. And they said, oh, no, tax the people. Man, put it heavy upon them. You need to rule with an iron fist. And the old man said, if you do that, the people will rebel against you. Don't do it. They're looking for some relief. Your dad was too hard on them. And he says, no, I'm not going to listen to these old men. Those old men don't know. They're old. They have old ideas. I'm going to listen to these young guys. They know better. They're telling me what I want to hear. And you know what? He taxed the people, and you know what they did? They rebelled, and they fought against him. Young people, you might look at older people and say, man, I don't want to listen to those old people, but I'll tell you what they got that you don't have. They got experience. And you need that in your life. Who are those older, wiser men in your life? How many of you have a grandpa or grandpa or pawpaw or peepaw, whatever you want to call them? Could I tell you that if your grandpa is a good man, you ought to listen to him. You ought to spend time with him. My father-in-law was a great preacher of the Word of God, and my grandfather got cancer. By the way, Brother Hawkins is a cancer survivor. He had cancer just a few years ago, and here he is today. Man, thousands of people were praying for him and his family, seeking God. God was gracious to him, cancer survivor. My father-in-law got leukemia, and we knew that he only had a short time to live. And I told my son, I said, I want you to go out with your grandpa, and I want you to ask him, Grandpa, give me something. Give me some great advice to help me in my life. And my father-in-law was going through chemo treatments at that time. And when you go through chemotherapy, you get what's called chemo brain. You just can't think straight. It messes up your mind. And so my father-in-law had that. So my son's riding along with him. And he said, Grandpa, he said, give me something. Give me some advice to help me live my life. And my father-in-law said, I got nothing. And that was his advice to him. I've got nothing. So, and my father-in-law passed away not long after that. So my son-in-law said, well, he didn't really give me any great advice. I said, he did give you some great advice. Let's look at his life. My father-in-law was one of the greatest preachers in America. He pastored the Cleveland Baptist Church of thousands of people. My father-in-law grew up in a drunkard's home. His dad used to say openly, "I hate you and I wish you were never born." He would smack my father-in-law's mother around. He'd blacken her eyes. He'd knock her teeth out. My father-in-law lived on the streets of Ann Arbor, Michigan. He slept on a bench. He ate out of a garbage can. He would sleep in a train station in the winter so they could stay warm. He had a very, very rough life. But he became a great man of God and a great preacher, and he had a wonderful family. My wife, his youngest daughter, absolutely adores the man. Never had a better father in the world. I mean, just great, great man. Young people, I'm telling you, some of you come from some pretty bad backgrounds. You've talked to me and told me your dad's messed up, your mom's messed up, your family's messed up. You think, how am I going to make it? You can make it through Jesus Christ if you'll listen to some good, godly, wise counsel. Here's the final thing, and we'll quit. Is your counsel the religious? I'm going to take you now to one of the saddest and most frightening passages in the Bible. I want you to turn to Luke 16 with me. Luke 16. I'm not going to be long here. Luke 16. I'll read this and we'll go. Give you just a couple things, we'll go. Luke 16, one of the saddest passages in the Bible. Look at verse 27. Luke 16, 27. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." This is a guy in hell. This is a guy speaking from hell. "Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Listen, if I knew somebody who just passed away, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to bring them back till I bring them back here. God, bring that person back." And they came up out of that grave. I mean, they got through that coffin. They dug their way up through that grave. And they came up. "I'm alive." And I brought them in here and said, "Hey, this guy was dead. We know he was dead. We saw him die. And now he's alive." And he said, "Hey, listen, I've come back from the dead to tell you that there's a place called hell. Don't go there." There'd actually be some people here that wouldn't believe him. You know why? He'd say it was a trick. Chris Angel. It's a great magician. They've done a great trick. I'm not going to believe that. Some of you wouldn't believe it. That's very sad. Young people, I want to tell you that there are some religious people that you need to listen to. You say, "No way, I'd believe someone who just came back from the dead." Lazarus came back from the dead. A girl named Tabitha came back from the dead. Jesus came back from the dead, and yet people still do not believe in Christ. Some of you have not yet believed in Christ. We had a young lady raise her hand last night, said, "I'm not saved." I don't know who she is, but if you haven't gotten saved yet, oh man, I'm begging you, get saved. Jesus came back from the dead and said, "Hey, I want to tell you, there's a life after this death, and there's a place called hell." He went there and he took the keys of death and hell and took that authority away. Lazarus came back from the dead and said, "This is the Christ." Some of you have not believed, and how sad to think that Satan has that much power over people that they'd reject the word, the holy word of God. Young people, without counsel, good counsel, a multitude of counsel, purposes are disappointed. Now here's the big question. Who in your life is your religious counsel? Those who speak the truth in love? Those who tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear? Those who drive you to this book? That's the people. Go to them, love them, thank them, and beg them to help you. Now some of you earlier, sit up for just a moment. This is it, and I'm done. Some of you earlier raised your hand and said, "I don't have that kind of counsel." Counselors, would you please stand? Counselors all over the auditorium, stand. These are the people that you need to go to. Young ladies, find one of these ladies and say, "I need good, godly counsel." They're good people. They love the Lord. They've dedicated a week of their time to come and help you. Guys, look around at these guys and say, "Hey, I need some counsel. I need someone to help me. I need someone to instruct me." Go to them and they will help you. They'll help you this week, and then they're gonna help you find a pastor or help you with your pastor, youth pastor, make some calls and help you. These people will help you. This is who you should be looking to. This is righteous counsel. You can be seated.